Hello and welcome to the EFL Podblog with Chris and Sue. Well, Chris, I'm a bit concerned about what I've heard in the news this week.
Well, I've just picked up a story from the news. What are you concerned
about? Well,
about
it's been all over the press, the newspapers, the TV, all about the environment, all about global warming. And some people say we've got 12 years to stop the effects of global warming, but some people say 3 years. I'm always very confused all about the information that we get in the news. Is it true? Is it not true?
But this is it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this, but we do have an expert, and we can maybe get him back in, Guillaume, to talk about this. But yeah, I picked up a story, and it was from the UN, United Nations Climate sort of committee. And the expert said the world has 3 years to stop dangerous climate change or else. Now, as you say, you said it's 6 years or whatever.
12 years, I heard.
12 years.
Yeah.
And I read something in 2017 where it was sometime in August where we'd used up all of the planet's resources.
For the year, that's right.
Yeah.
It happens every year. Is it called the World's Resource Day or something?
Something like that, yeah.
And
but this is actually about global warming, not about the resources.
Absolutely.
As such.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some things, and once again, there are conflicting stories. Because I looked at a couple of things. One was, according to pureearth.org, they have a list of 10 most polluting industries in the world. Now, I've asked you this question, and you said you thought it was probably mining.
Mm.
In fact, mining and ore processing is number 3. I'll just go down the list very quickly. This is from Pure Earth, as I said. And number 1 is lead battery acid recycling.
And where are these lead batteries? Are they in cars, that sort of thing?
That's what they're used for, yeah.
Okay.
There's also lead smelting, number 2. Number 3, as you said, is mining. Number 4 is tanneries, so making leather, etc.
Really?
Yeah, industrial dump sites, so anything from factories or whatever, was number 5. Number 6 was industrial estates. Number 7 was artisanal gold mining. So it's not the, you know, big, heavy mining. It's more the little miners, because what they do is they use mercury.
Yeah, I was going to say the chemicals they use.
Yeah, to get the gold out and the heat this, etc.
Mm.
Number 8 was manufacturing, any type of manufacturing. Number 9 was chemicals, and number 10 was the dye industry. However, I read another conflicting story, and it said that the number 1 was the oil companies, whether it's, you know, the actual refineries or dumping in the sea or on land or whatever. And number 2, could you guess what number 2 could be? Now, we've not spoken about it here.
Well, you really put me on the spot here. Farming.
Yeah, well, it could be. In fact, maybe there is a little link in it. But number 2 is apparently the fashion industry.
Silence from me.
Yeah. How many clothes have you bought this week?
I was going to say.
Now you're going to be ashamed. What's your favourite material?
Well, I'm going to have to say cotton, I suppose.
Okay. Well, cotton is one of the worst. In fact, the problem with cotton is it needs a lot of water to grow.
Yes.
And they say to make one cotton shirt, it takes 2,700 litres of water.
This is a problem, because although we're talking about global about climate change, there are so many criteria in which makes up the kind of global climate change figures. And water production is one I hadn't really thought of, I suppose.
Well, there's 2 things with water. One is water production, so actually using it for irrigation to make the cotton grow. And then afterwards, in the actual manufacture of the clothes, there's a lot of water used and a lot of, well, bad things which are dumped into water systems. Now, so one cotton shirt takes about 2,700 litres of water to make, which is enough water for one person to drink for 2.5 years.
Mm.
And when you think that a lot of people in the world in developing countries don't have access to clean running water, it's a bit of a bad
one. Is there an alternative to cotton then? Is there a more green alternative?
Well, I wouldn't know that, but there's also another part of the fashion industry, if you like, is polyester. Now, polyester production in 2015 produced 706 billion kilos of greenhouse gases.
I'm not surprised.
Which is equivalent to 185 coal-powered, coal-fired power stations.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's responsible for 20% of water pollution in the world.
And I'm just guessing here, but does this come from, like, Asia, these countries?
A lot of it, yeah, Indonesia, yeah. Developing countries, yeah.
Which probably don't have the same constraints, I'm going to say constraints, but kind of rules that we have in Europe terms of manufacturing.
This is the thing, and the problem is a lot of the big brands are made in these places, in Indonesia, in Vietnam, in Myanmar, etc., and there's no real legislation. And the only legislation is the police, and the police are generally not that sort of hot on this. And there was a program just recently. I'll put a link at the end of the podcast, which is quite an eye opener about this. Now, the problem with this as well is that most of the people that work in these developing countries are earning about $30 a month. The most 85% are women. That's one thing. And they use a lot of chemicals in the preparation of the textiles, lead, mercury, which then gets just ejected through open pipes into waterways, which are waterways which are used to grow food, which are used for water, etc., etc. And it's a real big problem. But the other problem is that cotton, again, going back to cotton, it uses 25% of the world's usage of pesticides.
Yes.
And 11% of the world's usage of insecticides.
Yes.
So there's a hell of a lot of bad chemicals.
No, I actually know a little bit about this.
Ah, go on.
And in fact, there are some companies in Europe who are developing natural, I'm going to say insects, that can eat the bad pests, the bad insects on the cotton plants.
Ah, yeah, I remember. This is called the boll weevil.
Something.
I remember that from school or whatever.
Yeah, so there are alternatives, but it's a case of what is the easiest thing for the farmer to use, I suppose.
But I think the big problem is that it's like a fast industry. That is, people buy lots of clothes. They're fairly cheap clothes, quite good quality in a way. The problem is that only 15% of the clothes that we wear are recycled. And the clothing consumption of one household produces 1.5 tons of CO2, which is equivalent to driving 6,000 cars.
And where do you get all these figures
from? Well, I got this from, a lot of it came from some websites which I'll put at the bottom, and also from pureearth.org. Now, there are various companies that are going against this. I mean, some of the baddies, we can't name them, but some of them begin with H and they may have an M in them, and some of them begin with Z and etc., etc. But they're basically high street stores, and they don't seem to be too bothered about this. You know that 90% of the clothes that we wear contain oil-based fibres such as nylon and polyester.
Yes, I didn't know about this.
Which leads me on to other things. So we'll leave the fashion industry at the moment and go on to the threats to the earth.
Okay.
Threats to the environment. What do you think they could be?
Well, I'm guessing, do you mean in terms of weather events?
It could be.
Big cyclones, hurricanes.
There's definitely things going on, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. There's a lot of weather about, as they say.
There is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of them is that 9 million tons of plastics enter the oceans every year.
Now then, that is a big thing in Europe at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
People are very anti-plastics.
Well, yeah, they are. But, I mean, I keep thinking that I'd like to shop and not buy plastics, but it's so difficult because you can hardly, if you go into a supermarket at least, so maybe you should change that, but if you go into a supermarket, you can buy hardly anything that's not in plastic.
Yes.
You know, be it meat, be it vegetables, yes. be it fruit, etc. Yeah. It's all in plastic.
And even things like straws.
Yeah.
I mean, as you know, I had a birthday recently and I wanted to buy paper straws, mm-hmm. not plastic straws. I wanted a particular colour. I bought them online. They came from Hong Kong.
Mm.
Which...
And were mega expensive.
Yeah, which really defeats the whole object of trying to
absolutely.
Save the
planet. Yeah, I mean, there's a huge carbon footprint on it.
Yes.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's very, very difficult to do to try to get rid of plastic.
Yeah, it is. And it is, even if you try on an individual level, it's really, really difficult. Now, another problem, that's the 9 million tonnes of plastic. I can't even imagine what that looks like. Another one is that the climate refugees, as the seas rise, etc., desertification, etc., it will mean that 2 billion people will become climate refugees. Now, that is a fifth of the world population at the moment. It's huge.
It's staggering.
Yeah, so they're going to go to be concentrated into... Yeah.
Is there a time scale on this?
They say by 2030.
Oh, wow, so which is just tomorrow, basically.
Yeah, it's very, very soon. And also they say that there's a decrease in food production because of this. A lot of the arable soils will not be arable anymore, it'll be desertification, etc., and lack of water. And as the temperatures rise, and they say that this will happen as soon as 2030 as well. So it's a huge problem.
Yes.
Now,
I'm like speechless.
Have you ever heard of the Aral Sea?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll put a link to a BBC report on the Aral Sea. This, basically, the Aral Sea was, the problems with the Aral Sea, that is the shrinking of the Aral Sea.
Now, where is it?
It's between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, where they grow a lot of cotton as well. It's been diverted to irrigate the cotton, and this, you just see, it's a total catastrophe. Yeah. It's almost lunar landscape now. But I'll put that at the bottom of it. So, there you go. Hopefully, the next thing we find from the news next week will be more good news.
I hope so. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eslpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.